I just wanted to jump in and mention that today is the last day to join the Amazing Freedom course for 2017. And if you come through my link, I'm still going to prep your first shipment. That offer is still good. I just decided to do it for anybody who came in, regardless of the number. You know, it's not a big deal to add another shipment since we do so many of them. So my offer stands. Text AMAZING to 44222, the word amazing to 44222. You can see a video with my offer, and you can see Andy and Leron talking about the benefits of the course. Private label is hot for a reason. You need to get in on it. And today's the last day, final day. No extra charge for joining through my link. Andy pays me. Make sure you're clear on that. Doesn't cost you anything. However, if you join through my link, I will prep your first shipment. You can send it to my warehouse. I'll do the prep for you for half price. So it's usually a buck. I'll do it for 50 cents. Actually, my wife and my son and I will do it for you. We'll do the cursory inspection for you. We'll make sure things are right. So again, text the word amazing to 44222 and you can see the offer. Won't cost you anything to watch it. I'm not tracking your email or any of that jazz. No hidden anything. Reach out to me if you have a question. Today's the last day. Last day.
Welcome to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
All right, welcome back to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast, and I'm very excited about today's guest. It's another live, yes, live. I get to look him in the eyes, and that changes things because it's easy to hide behind a microphone like I do, but now I got to look him in the eyes when I ask an uncomfortable question. And so it's Brian Duhame and his wife, Marcy.
Yes.
Okay. Welcome, guys. Welcome, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
We're in Denver, Colorado, looking out at some pretty incredible views. And we're here for Rocky Mountain Resellers Conference. And this is the second conference or a third conference I've seen you guys at this year. I know we were in New Jersey at the ACE Conference.
New Jersey. We were at ASD.
Okay, so we were at ASD. And then here we are again. You know? Yeah. And so for me, I think this is like my fifth one so far this year. I have another one next week. Then I have one more I agreed to do this year. And so for me, I'll get around. Why do you guys go to conferences?
It was a hard lesson to learn. I know everyone's heard this before, but it's the hallway conversations.
So you saw it in your past as an expense. Our business, you know, cash flow's tight. We can't spend that money. This is an expense. Where's the? I've heard this from somebody. Where's the ROI, Marcy? How do you see an ROI on these things? That's what you used to be. Me too. Don't get me wrong. We're all that way. Now you see it as the investment that it is?
Definitely. Definitely. And, you know, started going to conferences like the ACE conference because we were members. And having conversations and, you know, last year, ACE 1.0, you know, I talked to one seller who still not a very big seller, still working, and they gave me one tip that was probably gave me about $10,000 a month.
So you went there with no expectation of any of that?
None.
And yet, talking to somebody who they would probably say was beneath you, right?
Yeah.
And yet they were able to bring you value. I heard somebody say that in a conference yesterday, I guess it was Bob Steele mentioned that, that don't downplay the person sitting next to you because they could be the answer. That's what I said yesterday. That's why I wanted you to meet the people next to you. Did you see how crazy that got when I said that?
Yeah.
Because that person next to you could have the whole answer to your world. And in your experience, $10,000 a month is huge. That did happen to you.
Yeah. This morning at breakfast, you know, we were just standing in line. That line for breakfast was crazy.
Forever.
And so we, you know, sat with the gentleman and he gave us, you know, one tip that's going to be $3,000 a month.
One tip.
One tip.
For, you didn't ask for anything, you just talking
nope.
And...
just a casual mention on what he's doing for, you know, warehouse and just...
The lights went on. I describe it this way. The clouds open up. I hear angels in my voice, but that's just Steve. And it's like this beam of light comes down, and it's like, oh my gosh, why couldn't I see that? Yeah. And I think a lot of times it's because you're so close to it. You can't see it. So somebody else can see it.
Yeah.
That's a very cool state. So having an open mind, clearly, when you come to these things, not having those preconceived notions probably is the biggest thing. Let's talk about how you got started. So, your past history, you're full-time now?
Yes.
You're full-time. Marcy, are you full-time?
I am, yes.
You're now full-time, too. Okay, wow, that's a big deal. And I love having couples because I get to watch the body language between the two of you. And it's not that I'm judging you, it's just that I love to see... He's hugging. That might have been staged, I don't know. But to me, it means so much because, you know, I'm married over 30 years. And the people that got married at the same time I did, they're not married anymore, most all of them, because they've not been able to get the connection to go all the way. Mm-hmm. You guys look like you have an all-the-way kind of connection. Is that fair?
That's very fair, yeah. Yes.
Did you always? And I'm going to go here. What has this business done to take it the rest of the way if it wasn't already there?
I think I've been very blessed in meeting my wife. But yes, I think we've always had a very close relationship, and I think that this business has made us closer. You know, I came from a corporate America, work 80 hours a week, you know, survive on coffee and anger and
get ahead on others' expense.
Yes.
Right? Quite frankly, it's the way That's the way I was taught. You get ahead, you claw your way to the top. That's true.
And never really seeing each other, right? And
so
now,
you had a relationship, but it wasn't as deep as... I just did an interview with Mike Ross, and he talked about when he was in corporate America, he literally got to turn his job off at 4 o'clock or whatever it was and then come home and have a family life. Was that your life? No.
No.
No. Did he bring it home with him, Marcy?
He did. I could see on his face when he got home the stress, and, you know, I would say, you know, let's talk a little bit about it. And
you didn't marry him for that, did you? No, I'm serious. I mean that when I say that. You didn't expect that. You didn't.
I mean, does anybody? I mean, you all think it's all roses and
unicorns.
Rainbows,
yeah,
and
everything's great.
And, you know, I knew it would be hard at times, and I'm all for that. You know, I mean, that's what a relationship is all about. I think communication is huge, and I think we definitely learned being in this business more on the communication level.
Because, you know, like you're saying, you're coming home 80 hours, you're tired, you're probably cranky, stressed. She's asking how your day is. You don't want to dump on her, right, as a guy, right?
Right.
So you internalize it, right? This is Steve talking to you.
Yep.
This is my therapy, right? But that's the truth, right? And then you're like, you know, hey, why won't you talk to me about it? Now you really have to talk. I think that's one of the cool things, too, about this business.
Yeah.
So you did the corporate thing. What were you doing?
I was in the beauty industry.
Okay.
I am a licensed esthetician and nail technician.
So oh, okay,
manicures,
cool.
Pedicures. I owned my own spa, kind of
ooh,
a one-woman show.
A brick and mortar.
Brick and mortar.
So I traded my time for money.
Okay.
Which, you know, is... You know, you don't work, you don't get paid, so whenever he's like, let's go somewhere, and I'm like, but I need the money, you know, it was hard to just get up and go. Where in this business, you can, I mean.
Well, here you are, and I assume your business is chugging along, right, as we're sitting here.
It is. We've got 4 people sourcing right now.
So, you know, it's funny, Michael brought up David Hawkins, and if you ever met David and Ivy Hawkins, a couple... amazing couple that go, and David posted something the other day, a thing that says, I am my business. And Michael and I spent some time talking about it because I think that's a fair statement about now. I feel like I am my business. How do you guys feel that? That's
yeah.
But let me say it this way. That's a positive. I see it as a positive, right? You had a brick and mortar, and we talked about it. Michael and I talked about what it would be like. When you were in your nails place, when you said, I am my business, would you see it as a positive?
Yes.
You would?
I would, yeah, I did.
So you would. You saw it as a positive still. But when he wanted to go somewhere and you, I am my business, is that still a positive then?
Probably not at that point. Because
right.
I felt like it was a ball and chain.
Right, it's a prison. Yeah. That's what he describes. It's so funny that we literally just had this conversation. It is. And so you're free of that. How different is that?
It's invigorating, for sure. I feel free in some aspects.
Do you feel like you failed, though?
I don't.
Good for you. Good for you. I mean, I mean that. Because a lot of people would say, I'm all my business, I had this dream and I got this, but I failed because it didn't work out.
It's not that it didn't work out. I was in the business for over 25 years, and at this point of when I gave it up, I retired, quotation, I was ready to retire.
But it was at your choice, not because the business was failing or anything like that.
No, not at all.
Wow. It was more a situation where it was costing us too much money for her to run that business. And not, and she was burning the candle at both ends,
For sure.
And helping me source on weekends, and so.
Do you guys have kids?
No,
we don't.
Okay, so you don't have kids. So it's you two, right? And so, from a relationship point of view, that's really important to stay connected.
Yeah.
And if you're running your business and he's doing this or corporate, whatever it was. You weren't able to get connected. That's very cool to see that. That's very cool. Ooh, I get tingles thinking about it. I'm telling you, as a married guy, I've been married a long time. I want to see every marriage make it. To me, the grass is no greener. There's no way it's greener. You got to put into it to get out of it, right?
Yeah.
And so it's very cool to see that. So life was going along. You working 80 hours a week. Why did you start even thinking about, or did you just turn it off and say, I'm going all in on this business? Or did you just say, hey, you know, how did you find it, I guess is the right way to say it.
How did I find Amazon?
Yeah.
So I had started my corporate life in banking and then for various reasons progressed into advertising. I was at an internet marketing conference where I met Jim Cockrum.
Okay.
Who told me that, you know, you should add selling physical products to your to what you're doing rather than just consulting, which is a lot of what I was doing. And I said, well, yeah, no, that sounds great. And my mentality was at the time, I did that eBay thing, and that lifestyle sounds terrible.
You're back to the brick and, or the ball and chain, right?
Yeah,
you're back to the ball and chain.
So that was in 2012. He had sent me he had introduced me to Chris Green in 2012, and I met with Chris, and I was like, this Amazon thing's just too good to be true.
Right.
So I did absolutely nothing with that information for 3 years.
So for 3 years, you meet Chris, the idea man, the king of ideas.
The right? king
I mean,
of
Chris
ideas.
Chris will tell you 18 ways to make money on Amazon. He knows it better than anybody else I've ever met and believes it with his heart and can sell you on it. He didn't sell you on it.
He sold me on it, but I had golden handcuffs. So, I'm making high six figures in a corporate job, slowly killing myself, but not coming to the realization yet that I'm killing myself, and saying I am never going to replace my income with Amazon, which, we did put our head down, start doing the work in 2015. I'm happy to say I've replaced my income.
And that's awesome. But let me ask you a question. Why did you need, I mean, this to me is this is something I think people need to realize, okay? You're making a high six-figure income. There's only the two of you. Why do you need to make such a high six-figure income? Are you trying, and this isn't meant as a criticism, this is meant to help other people, because I think this is a reality. So here I am, 51, I just retired, and I took a huge pay cut because I'm making that kind of money, and I decided, you know, we don't need that, me and my wife decided, we don't need that kind of money. Our second son's going to be out of college next year, we don't need it. We can downsize our lives to this, that's what we need. Here you guys are making incredible money, more than most, way, way, way more than most. Were you trying to keep a lifestyle? What was it that drove you to make that much money that kept you needing to make that much money? Because that's what you said, is that you felt like you couldn't replace that much money. Well, that means you need that much money.
So
that's a personal question, and you don't have to answer it.
No,
it's real to me. I think people fight this.
You know, I grew up very, very poor.
So it's a scarcity mentality.
It is I am terrified of ever being poor. So my mother raised two kids on less than $18,000 a year. I have absolutely no idea how she did that, no government assistance, no help, wouldn't take help from family, nothing. Money was always, the amount of money you had in the bank account was a symbol of success.
You believe that. You did believe that.
I did believe that.
You believed that because you saw others, because you weren't in that world, and you looked up to them. And you believed, and I'm guilty of it, so I can fully relate, that money really made them something. They had it all.
Yeah. All the money is going to make you happy, right?
That's right. It's going to make you. That's where happiness comes from, is money, purely. Right, because they look happy. All the pictures you saw, they were happy. They were smiling. Yeah. They were in St. Bart's, right? They were wherever, and you didn't have that. So you grew up with that scarcity mentality, brought it to life, and you felt like you needed to make that much money, because that's a big statement. I mean, when you're making that kind of money, and you're young now, right? How old are you?
39.
You're 39 now, so you know you're young making that kind of money to still have that. And not act because of it. Wow. Yeah. So what turned? How do you get there?
So, you know, you climb the corporate ladder, right? And, you know, you're a manager, and then you're managing managers.
Director,
and And then you get to a point where they, you know, I became what they would call a firefighter, which is, hey, we really screwed up this client relationship. We need someone to have some difficult conversations. So I would come in and schmooze them and, you know, that sort of thing. And then that turned into, well, you're really good at having difficult conversations. We're now the internet. So I'm in a traditional marketing company, you know, print media, and struggling to get into digital media. And so they said, well, we need someone to have that difficult conversation because we're starting to lay people off.
Oh, that's fun.
So I started seeing people, you know, late 30s, early 40s, you know, double espresso, heart attacks, coming back to work a week later because they're terrified of losing their job.
Do you think they had that scarcity mentality at that point? I mean, did you see that in them?
Yeah, I mean, you're just looking at people, and everyone in the office has that terrified look in their eyes, and, you know, now they're going from, you know, 80 hours a week to, geez, what, I'm going to come in weekends because I gotta keep this job, I've got a family, because we were, you know, overcompensated corporate cronies, right? We're all trying to justify our jobs, and
you bought into it.
Yeah, you bought into it.
You bought into it.
And then you realized, hey, you know what? There's that kid who just graduated with his MBA, and he's willing to work for $50,000 less than I am.
Uh-oh.
Now we've got a problem.
Yeah. All right. So you're sitting there saying, hey, I'm indispensable. I'm this. I'm that. Look at how much money they're paying me. I'm the best thing since sliced bread. And then all of a sudden you realize that's probably not true. You're expendable as they're dropping people left and right. Mm-hmm. You're not in control of your future, are you?
No. So
that's a bad place to be when you feel like you need that much money. You built the lifestyle, probably. Be fair. I mean, I'm guilty of it, right? We got a big, giant house we're selling right now because it's empty, right? All the stuff we've actually, fortunately, given away almost all our stuff. We actually didn't sell any of it. We gave it away, and it was very freeing. But you get there. I've been there, and I get there. Yeah. And so now you're sitting there saying, what am I going to do? Right?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you the same question I ask her. Did you fail? Did you feel like you failed? Every day when you went into work, were you failing?
I wasn't failing. I mean, I was always the guy, right? So I was the problem solver. I was the axe man. I was the one that was...
Oh.
And I hated that. I went through... It's about 5 years of turmoil. My last 5 years in corporate America, 5 years of turmoil, about 3 years of that was me having to call people in and say, we really appreciate everything you did. Thank you for relocating your entire family. But by the way, we're going to have to let you go.
We're going a different direction, right? You know, that conversation.
And that conversation, at first, it was painful to have, but I could have it. But then over time, really just seeing what it was doing to people and the fear in people's eyes in the office, and it wore on me and I couldn't do it.
In the middle, though, did it become automated for you?
Yeah.
And see, that's the thing, okay? And so I want to stop here for a second because I'm in the same boat. This becomes your social norm, right? You always hear that phrase, the five people you hang with, you become, right? Right? Mm-hmm. Think about that, right? You've seen that in your life. In corporate world, corporate America, if you're not careful, that stuff becomes normal. Oh, yeah, we just got to lay some people off today. Got it. And then you sit back and you figure out, wait a second. We just cut, you know, these $50,000, $60,000 jobs, and we're giving a bonus to our executive vice president? And I'm like, how does that connection work? Wait, you know, in the past, it wouldn't be. Everybody, oh, we all have to suck it up and go through it. Okay, I bought into that. Mm-hmm. But now all of a sudden, it changes, right? And did you see that change?
Yeah, a big part of the change was, like you said, the company laid off 1,200 employees, and our executive team got bonuses equaling about 3 years worth of pay for those people.
So,
for eliminating those jobs.
Now think about that, right? I mean, I just want to pause here because how uncomfortable, I can see it in your eyes. This is, I mean, you're welling up a little bit. This is painful for you. I was there, so I could truly appreciate it. And you go back to, you know, think about going back. When, how far back in your mind do you have to go back to being a good person? And I'm not calling you an evil person.
No.
You just buy into this thing and you become that. How far back do you have to go back to find that good person that was there?
Probably a decade.
Yeah, now think about that. 10 years of your life. Is that fair, Marcy?
Yeah.
That's 25% of my life.
And you watched this, right? So I think about my wife. My wife is the one who encouraged me, like, basically, look, Steve, time to retire. You know, she kind of forced it. And you know, I made the giant income. And she kind of forced it because she says the same thing. She goes, I haven't seen you smile in so long. Did you see that in him?
Yeah, he just came home and he was just, I could see the pain on his face every day.
Oh, dude, I'm getting choked up even thinking about it. I'm telling you, the challenge is this, is that, you know, so many people that you know, your personal friends, are going through this right now.
Oh, yeah. Most of my friends they're still in these big corporate jobs making big incomes, having the big cars, and, you know, some of them are starting to leave, you know, they're starting to
see. So you're starting to see it. And you're 39, you said?
39.
And you're right in that prime age, right, of that workforce. Wow. It is, and I'm making a big deal of this because I'm really hoping that somebody hears this. And so here's two dudes. I'm 51, you're 39, who've been there. And, you know, I have no ill will against my company. My company was a great company. They treated me well. I've done everything they asked. They did everything. You know, it was a great job. I don't want to say it that way. But through no fault of their own, just the way the weight of the world is, the way the direction of the world's going, because I was in that traditional media kind of thing too, they can't control it. And they're doing their best because they made it, I describe it this way, they made a deal with the devil by borrowing so much money because that's what you do, and that's the norm, right? That was their social norm. And they're trying anything they can to outrace the devil to pay it off as best as they can. And it comes at a cost. And that cost in my industry was people, because 55% of our cost was labor cost. So guess what? Where are you going to go cut? You know, I can only cut the electricity bill and turn off the light switches so long. So you get there. And so I just hope people hear this again. And I would come back and listen to this point. Here's two dudes that have survived it or on the other side of it. Wish no ill will.
Yeah, no.
But just finally realize there's another way. Because, frankly, you didn't realize there was another way, did you?
I didn't. And, you know,
I'm guilty of it too.
Yeah, it took me a long time to make that decision. And if I wasn't essentially forced to make that decision to leave, I might still be there.
When your mom would describe what you were doing, she was probably, you know, my son's made it.
Yeah. Right? Super proud, yeah.
Right? And that was probably part of your thing was to prove to her or prove to whoever that you could make it, right? It sounds like you didn't have a dad around. It sounds like that. So you wanted to prove that you could make it.
Yeah.
Dude, we made it. We are kindred spirits here. My dad wasn't around either, so I absolutely get it. very cool. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a break because it's an emotional point. I want to take this break, but I want to leave it there for you to take and listen to that again because that is so real. But we're here to both tell you there is another way. As I said yesterday when I was the intro speaker here, I asked people, you know, who in this room is going to grow their business this year? I'm on stage looking out. Every single hand went up in here. There's no negativity. There's nothing but positivity. So there is another way. And we both believe that this might be the way for you. Take a break. Be right back.
I was talking to Karen Locker the other day from Solutions for E-Commerce. We all know she's the sponsor of my show. She pays me. I don't want to hide that, right? The other thing she reminded me, though, is that if you sign up for her service through my link, you get $50 off, right? You knew that. I forgot that she offers an inventory health assessment. I'm like, Karen, I probably should be talking about that valuable service. She's going to take a look through your inventory and help you figure it out. They're going to take care of your suppressed listings. You tired of having stranded inventory? Is inventory getting lost? When's the last time you looked at your shipments to get them reconciled? How about refunds? Has that happened? Well, Karen takes care of all that for me. She's been doing it for almost 2 years. I pay the same rate you do, but I'm very, very pleased with the service. And two guys, two well-known guys in the area, reach out to me saying, hey, you've been with her. Are you satisfied? I'm perfectly satisfied. And again, I can message her. I get the services I need. So it's Solutions for E-Commerce. The only way you're going to get that deal is using my code MOMENTUM. I have a link on my website. You have to go there. If you're thinking about outsourcing that piece of your business, get your inventory looked at.
So are you on the same page with your spouse as much, and Brian and Marcy are? I think that's a great example of what's possible when you really do get on the same page. And I think they, you know, to see her look in his eyes, I'm telling you, would blow your mind because you can just see the connection that they have. That's just so important. And you can get that, but you got to work at it. You know, their story's not easy. Just ask them. But look at how they make it work, man. It's just a great story. I'm so fortunate to get to spend time with them. I hope you enjoyed this as much as I do. Let's get back into the podcast.
All right, we're back talking with Brian Duhame and his wife Marcy, and you know, I hope that emotional thing connects with you and you move forward because of it, because we both have. All right, so I want to get to the positive stuff, right? I want to get there. So you leave, you start, you meet Jim Cockrum, he introduced you to Chris Green, you don't take action. 3 years though, you take action. This stuff took a toll on you and you're like, I'm going to try something else? Is that what it was?
We had been playing with this, right? It became it was a hobby for us for a little while, for a few months. And in December, there was another major layoff. So I had to let go of a bunch more people. And they said, we're closing all of the regional offices. You can either relocate or we would like to offer you a retirement package.
Okay.
Ooh. I have never been so happy to retire in my life.
He had the biggest smile on his face.
Really? So you saw it come back. 10 years, you didn't see it. And 10 years, he came home, and you're like, there's something here. This is the way out. This is my way out.
Yeah.
His boss couldn't believe. He's like, why are you smiling? He's like, I'm so happy right now.
And because his boss, did his boss stay?
Yeah, my boss did.
Is he still with them or no?
About 2 years later, he did take a...
Right. So think about that. All right. So for 2 more years, that poor guy had his soul sucked out for 2 more years. Because I'm sure it got worse.
It got significantly worse.
When you start to see that start to happen, it is never going to get better. It is always only going to get worse.
Yeah.
And it's going to continue until they merge, sold, close, whatever.
Yeah.
And so he has a smile. You get to see that again. What's that do for your relationship?
Just having that pressure and anxiety lifted off of him just made our relationship better.
It's the guy you married.
Yeah.
Right? Not the sad guy, not the... Yeah. All right. So things are, you know, you got a pile of cash in your pocket. You're like, all right, what am I going to do? What went through your head? Did you immediately say, I want to take this hobby because I can make it go, I'm good at it? Or did you say, hey, I could do this, I could do this? I mean, did you put a whole bunch of things through your head?
frankly, I did it. I still did nothing. So to be, if I'm being honest, I really did nothing for about 4 months. I started working it. It wasn't that I was doing absolutely nothing, but we were up by April. We were up to probably $30,000 a month.
So what did you just have to do a cleanse? I mean, was it like a mental cleanse?
It was a mental cleanse.
Figure out what he wanted to be when he grew up.
But you were going to grow up. That was it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're finally going to grow up.
Time to grow up.
It's time to grow up, boy. You're 39. I'm ready for you to grow up, my son.
But a lot of it was still belief system. I didn't truly believe that. I thought the business was too good to be true.
Yeah, but here's something. You had incredible success in a mm-hmm. difficult industry. You were the guy. That was your mm-hmm. description. You were the guy. Why wouldn't you think that you would be the guy? Because I'm not going to ask you this. Marcy, you believe he's the guy, right?
Absolutely.
No matter what he does.
Right.
So why wouldn't you believe you're the guy? Are we back to the dad issues again?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I guess it was my experience with eBay and the difficulty scaling, and I just didn't believe that it was possible. So the turning point was we went to Greg Purdy's Momentum Conference.
I spoke at that conference.
You spoke at that. So that was the first place. It was our first conference. That was the first time we met you. We were blessed enough to be seated with Andy Slammons.
Oh, my God.
And so...
It was amazing.
Powerhouse.
And... It was Andy, Dwayne Malik, Chris Green, yourself, just talking to people, and everyone was just like, just do it. It was the, what's the worst that's going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah. I heard Andy say that yesterday about Chris Green saying, Andy, what if, what if I fail, Chris? What if I fail, Chris? And then he goes, well, then you failed. Okay. What's next?
Yeah. What's next?
Right.
And after that, it was kind of like, why am I fooling around with this thing? It's time to just do it. And, so what are we? We're 2 years later, right? Because that was April, May of 2015.
Was that when it was? Jesus.
This year we should be right around $3
million. $3 million. Now think about that. There's no doubt in your mind. I'm looking at Marcy. You knew it. Fair? Him.
I knew I had faith in him.
Right.
Yes.
And as a husband, when your wife has faith in you, what's that do for you?
Oh, I'm not really sure I can describe it. It's certainly empowering.
It's the fuel to the fire, I describe it.
It's being able to look at her and not see doubt in her eyes.
Mm. Ooh.
Is
I'm telling you, I had the chills when you said that.
Because
I can see the way she's looking at you with a smile. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. Okay, I'm getting choked up. It's funny when I do these interviews and I say that on you actually get to see it. My eyes are welling up a little bit. That's the truth. And I really mean that. When I say I'm getting choked up, I get a little bit choked up because not many marriages get to this place that this is real intimacy. You know what I mean? It sounds so corny, and I don't mean to sound corny, but this is real intimacy. This is more than sex. This is that mental place when you guys clearly are one. As I look at you, I can see it. Oh, love it. Get me excited about it. I love this. This is why I love what I do, because I get to experience part of this and part of you.
The one thing I really liked about him when we first met, he was very much an entrepreneur. He always was coming up with ideas on things that he might want to do in the future. So he did do a deal with a friend of his, an ex-coworker, and unfortunately that didn't go as planned. But he picked himself up and said, I'm going to move on to the next thing, and I'm going to maybe, try something else. And he always had something in the back of his mind that he wanted to be that entrepreneur.
And he pulled it out. Dude, oh my God, I'm getting the chills. So what would you attribute to the real success? Because you're at that $30,000 a month, and now you're going to do $3 million, and you went all in.
Yeah,
what would have gotten you from there? I mean, because that's where my experience, right? I talk to hundreds of people. I talked to hundreds of people in the last 2 days, right? And I do these a lot. So I talk to thousands of people. And a lot of people get stuck at that 30,000 mark, right? They get there and they can't get past it. What drove you past it other than tenacity and spirit and just damn will to do it?
It was, so, I mean, at that time, this was right around the time when the young guns were kind of coming on the stage.
Boys. Yeah, they
right?
met. I don't know if you realize that. They met at that conference.
Yeah.
I was at that table with KIB, and they were all there. Dwayne, they were all there. Yeah. I was there with them.
Yeah, so it was just, you know, that conference was definitely a turning point because it was like, wait a second. The group of them just did six figures this month? Wait a second, that doesn't make sense.
You met those guys. Yeah. These are smart guys, great guys.
Yeah.
But they're no different than us.
Yeah. No, it was definitely a turning point. And again, it was the conference. I think if I hadn't have gone to that conference, I would have gone back to corporate America.
No kidding.
I had people calling me and there were opportunities. And it was a combination of that conference and then shortly after that, meeting Sam Cohen.
And you were there for Ace 1.0. You were in the beginning phase of that.
We were there, Ace 1.0, yeah.
And so, you know, let's just pause on this point because here we are at a conference. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the big statements I made yesterday when I challenged the speakers is that they could change lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that might just sound cliche, but you're a living example. I can't wait to tell Greg. Greg and I are great friends. Greg Purdy, who put on that conference, that, by the way, I met a guy whose life was changed because of you putting the work in, Greg, to do that.
Yeah.
That's a big statement, and I'm telling you, he'll be like a kid in the candy store, right?
Yeah, I talked to him at the ACE conference and thanked him. So
it's a big statement. I'm putting it out in the air. And so that's why you have to come to conferences, right? That's why it's an investment, not an expense.
Right.
So, you never know.
And, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, out there, they're like, okay, well, now you're doing all this volume and you're killing it. You're doing great. So we were in a place and I was like, I was having difficulty seeing beyond 3 million.
Right.
And coming to conferences, met Bob Steele, met Dan Wentworth, and, you know, and now we all talk frequently, and it's like, you know, they've re-energized me. I'm like, okay, well,
here's and these are old dudes. Both Bob and Dan are old dudes my age. They're old dudes.
They're not old.
And they get it.
Yeah, but they've been, again, conferences. I met them at conferences.
Face to face.
Look
them in the eye.
And they're in my backyard. So, you know, there's also a lot of people, you know, with that scarcity mentality. I've identified this year in going to conferences, you know, a half dozen multi-million dollar sellers in my backyard. We're in New Hampshire. Like, we don't have a lot of outlet malls and shopping, right? You can't talk to me about scarcity anymore. I mean, we're all sharing the same stores and we're all thriving.
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 And yet you don't feel like they're competition. They are.
They are, but...
But they don't feel like it, do they?
Not
they
at
feel
all.
Like friends, relationships. Now imagine that. Can you imagine Target and Walmart being friends and having a relationship? No, right? It sounds so silly.
Yeah.
But yet you are a multi-million dollar seller. Dan's a multi-million dollar seller. Bob's a multi-million dollar seller. And yet you're friends. I mean, more than just acquaintances, right? It's becoming more than that.
It is.
And we could still learn from each other.
Right.
That's what's the great thing about it.
And yet, you're selling the same things, you're buying the same things, and you can learn from each other.
Yeah.
Name an industry, right? Now, you came from a very competitive industry.
Not any place I worked.
No, not any place. And let me make this bold of a statement, and I think about my friends. I've got some amazing friends. Not any of my friends' industries either.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, no, not at all.
Do you know anybody who's in the nail world that are collaborative, that work together? Do you know anybody? Industry-wise?
Not really.
No.
No. People would ask me, who can you refer me to after you leave? And I had no idea. Like, it's not a community like this community. You know, we were competitive. You know, I would have friends that were like estheticians that I'd be like, oh, I did go to this person and they were phenomenal. If I can't, you know, be there for you, this person I would definitely recommend. It's different.
Well, let me say this too. It's different because you put into it though, right? That was my other big comment. Hopefully these comments stuck with somebody. But it's like you come to this event and you're the wallflower on the back of the room and you just keep your head down and you walk out and keep your eyes, don't make eye contact, and you don't talk to anybody. You're going to get absolutely nothing from this. Fair?
Yeah. Fair.
Yeah, very
and
fair.
So yeah. What do you put into it to get so much back? Because you're getting so much back. You wouldn't get that much back unless you put into it. So talk about what you put into this community to get so much back. I know you do, so I can say that.
Yeah, I'm for the most part very much introverted, so it's difficult for me to ask for help. It's difficult for me to get out there, and so, but I'm learning to, you know, reach out to people, and I mean, these conferences, there is not a single person who's going to turn you away.
No, but I saw you, I'm a noticer, and I watched you over the last couple of days. There wasn't a time where it was just the two of you together. You were always with other people, mm-hmm. talking yeah. and sewing into them. So to me, that's what I see you doing, is that you're kind of saying, hey, we're a couple just regular people, and yeah. we've been able to do it, and building up that positivity. I've seen that, and I saw you speak. You're a great speaker.
Well, thank you.
I mean that. You know, I do this a lot, and you're a great speaker. You're very powerful, very commanding, and very believable. And that compassion comes across, and that's what people are looking for realness. And so yeah. I see that, and I think that's, quite frankly, why you're getting so much from this community, because you give it. You might not see it, but just sitting down at the table with some newbies, right, because there's mm-hmm. some newbies here, they're getting something. You don't realize it. When they can see the couple working together, and they want that for their, I mean, we're back to this whole subject because it's such a big issue for me, because I still believe that so many marriages get missed because he's working 80 hours, you're working that, you're bringing your work home with you because your work is your work. You don't work, you don't get paid. I'm looking at Marcy when I'm saying that because of a male technician, but it's true. And so you never get the communication. I guess that's what you said, Marcy, when we started, was that communication is the thing that this business has brought you.
Yeah.
And so I see it, and man, it's, give me the chills again. I get the chills over this stuff because it's so exciting. I mean, it's just so exciting. So, business is great. You learned a lot from Sam and his group, right?
Learned a lot from Sam.
Met some great friends.
You made some real relationships,
yeah.
right? I mean, let me ask you this, and I'd say this because I have friends outside of here, but I must admit, it's not that I drift from them, but my interests are definitely different than theirs. And so I do drift. I hate to say mm-hmm. it. My friends have really are in this industry now. I mean, like real friends. Yeah. You saw my friends. We're in a suite, but I got crazy friends that I'll stay with. We stay everywhere together, like high school boys, you know. Mm-hmm. And yet we have the most fun and the greatest relationships and never talk a nary about our why. You know, and it's all those things. Love their kids. And so my friends are here. Is that what's happening in your life too?
He was just saying recently he has a friend that he visits once a week, and he said, I don't know, like, it's different, you know, with that person. They don't really understand what I do now for work. It's just, it's a different type of friendship. It doesn't feel the same as it does with our friends in the Amazon community.
Wow.
Yeah. It's,
is it the positivity? Is it the
hopelessness?
Yeah, you know, I often describe the thing that, because I got to that place one time, I had a business that failed, that hopelessness. I got there, and that's a bad place to be. And it's like, oh my God, without hope, I think you have nothing. And so, is that part of it?
Yeah. So, and you mentioned it earlier, right? You are the sum of your five closest friends, right?
Right.
And my friends from high school or from school, you know, they're no longer positive. Like, the corporate world has taken its toll on them, and coming to this, and, you know, even, you know, I was in a lot of weddings, obviously, like, everyone, you grow up in your 20s, you're in 18 different weddings, right? I don't talk to those people anymore, but the relationships that I'm building at these conferences and in this business are, I mean, they're real relationships. It's, oh, hey, you're going to be in town? Yeah. Come stay with us. Don't get a hotel. Like, and real, genuine, like, you know, crash on our couch, crash in our spare room. It's real, lifelong family friendships. That just amazes
me. I'm all about cutting the negativity out of my life, too, because it's just, you know, I mean, this is going to sound really awful. I personally know 15 people with cancer right now. I personally know, which is crazy when you think about that. My mother's like, she's in her 70s and down in Florida, and she doesn't know that many people. But it's true. Life is so short. You can have that negativity, and I will sow into you and try to help you to get positive. But if you can, you choose that. I can't bring that out of you.
Yeah.
I'm moving on because I don't want that in my life. My life is too short. I want to help people who want to be helped. I want to, you know, bring joy to the world, right? Sounds,
yeah.
You know, all these sound cliche, but it's the truth. I mean, I realize it took me a long time in my life to get there. And it sounds the same. So what's next for you guys? Where do you think you're going next? I hope you're not in a hurry. I hope it's...
Honestly?
Hope, you're figuring it out.
Yeah, I right now, my big focus is definitely process and procedure.
Okay.
You know, we're hiring. I'm trying to step back. You know, we're... like a lot of other people looking to expand into private label. I think this year, next year, refocus on the business. I don't necessarily want to grow. I want to focus on profitability and fine tuning things so that as I'm hiring people, it's, I want to you know, create that sort of franchise that...
And you don't want more responsibility, and quite frankly,
yeah.
Right? You know, it's funny with the Young Guns, right? I've had them both. I've had them all on a second time. And, you know, I was on with them early, and now to hear how mature they've gotten to the same place, they're still Young Guns, the young punks. But what's so cool is they've said the same thing, that they're now, you know, they're taking cash out of their business. They're going to...
Yeah.
They've matured as far as they want to grow. It's not growth at any cost. It's now growth at smart cost. And probably getting rid of something. I think that's a maturity place that you get to in your business, and that's when you're going to see the biggest growth in your business. Not necessarily revenue, but growth in the maturity. I mean, in all the aspects of your business. And I think that's just so smart to recognize that. That is such a great place. And you're at that $3 million mark, which I think is exactly the right place to start, because it takes a lot of a different ability to run a $3 million business than it does a $360,000 business, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it takes a lot of different, you have more things to lose, but there's more moving pieces. And so if you can smartly manage that, man, that's just awesome. I mean, that's just awesome.
Yeah. This is, I still pinch myself every morning.
It's very exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, just think about where you are as a couple, and it's just so exciting. So, you know, the goal of this podcast is to help people move forward, right? So I'm thinking of that person who's at that $30,000 level. What would you say to them to get them to move forward, to get past that point of stuck where you were at that place? What would you say?
It's okay to make mistakes. Last year, I made over $100,000 worth of bad buys. So, you know, you may talk to me and think I've got it together, but understand that, you know, everyone in this business has the same struggles, and we all make mistakes, and that's okay. It's going to be a part of your growth. You'll get better with each and every buy. Don't be afraid to reach out to other sellers and ask for help. It's one of the hardest things to do, but it is one of the most rewarding things that you can do, especially in this community. Everyone's definitely willing to help out. So.
And again, that goes against being a man, is asking for help, because we can solve all problems, right?
Right.
But again, that's a maturity that he sees. Marcy, what would you say?
Um, Sorry, I lost focus.
That's fine.
Repeat the question again.
Say that again?
Repeat the question again.
Okay, so, you know, the goal is that people move people forward. And as Brian said, you know, it's to ask questions. I mean, he really got to that place, is to say, you know what, I need some help. And being willing to accept the help, not just listen to it, but actually take and move forward. What would you say for somebody, especially in the role that you're in the company?
Never give up.
Oh.
Always push forward. It's, you know, like he said, you know, you make mistakes, but always keep moving forward. Because, you know, don't stop.
Because on this side of it, it's a pretty good place to be, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It is.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I don't want to downplay how difficult this business is.
Right.
But the margins, especially for folks who do RA, the margins afford you the ability to screw up a lot of things while you're learning.
Mm. And the smart people take those additional margins and invest in these other wholesale, private label, your interest in private label, absolutely smart. And then you're building a business and a brand and all that kind of jazz. Man, I'm so excited. Thank you so much. I'm so glad we finally get a chance to do this, because we've been talking about it forever. Both of us are so busy. I wish you nothing but success. If somebody has a question, I better get that in there, because somebody's going to say that. Best way to get in touch with you?
Facebook.
Yeah.
Facebook. Probably
I'll put
the best
link out there on the website.
And we're both, he has a Facebook page, but we're both on it.
Okay.
So
okay. And so give me his card, and I'll put these links out there on this episode. Man, I wish you nothing but success and a continued great marriage, and I just can't wait to have you back to hear what's going on next. Take care.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.